we are a blessed people. Why don't you say that with your own lips? I am a blessed person. We are a blessed people. God has truly been good to us. All right, well, we are going to get into this word. We're going to actually finish this teaching, this message. This is the last day of the year, and this is the last part of this particular teaching that we're going to do. I can't think of anything, honestly, more relevant than this subject that we're talking about. You know, I thought about, Lord, do you want me to do something different for this, being that this is New Year's Eve? Do you want me to do a kind of a theme type of thing? And I'm not real big on doing theme messages for holidays. Sometimes I will. For Christmas we did. But I just can't think of anything more relevant to us and more important to us right now as we go into 2024 than that we know how to recognize and hear God's voice. There is nothing more important than that right now. What we're facing in 2024, you know, we don't like to look at it. We don't want to hear negative stuff. But please understand, 2024 is an election year. And there's all kinds of nasty things that are going to happen. You're going to see all kinds of nasty things happening in the political realm. And on top of that, there's a continuation of just more and more things that the Bible said would happen on this earth as the time draws near to his coming. And so you're going to see some wonderful things and you're going to see some terrible things. But how many of you know whether or not things are wonderful or things are terrible, Jesus is still Lord. He's still worthy of praise, honor, and glory. He's still able to take care of his children. That we're not dependent on the government or people. We're dependent upon him. And God will make a way where there seems to be no way. Amen? And so I want to be able to hear his voice. Because if I'm not hearing his voice, I can't follow his commands. If I'm not hearing his voice, I won't have a clue what to do, how to act. I won't have a clue what kind of decisions I should make. I would only be able to lean to my own understanding, and we all know what that gets us. Amen? Has anybody ever found out what leaning to your own understanding gets you? Yeah, it's not good, right? That's why we're warned not to do that. So we spoke for weeks about when God speaks to us, recognizing that. And then we began to talk about how he speaks to us. So we want to recognize when he speaks, but we also want to recognize how he speaks. Because sometimes people don't know how he speaks. Again, I've said over the years, probably the number one question that I've been asked when it comes to things of the Spirit is, how do you know when God is speaking to you? Because people in this world think you're nuts. If you say God speaks to you, then, you know, they're going to at least look at you a little sideways, right? Now, if he's speaking to you, if you believe God is speaking to you and telling you to do something crazy, like, you know, go kill somebody or do anything that is opposite of his word, like people say, well, I believe God told me to go bomb that abortion clinic or whatever. I want to tell you, that's not God. You're just nuts, right? You're not hearing from the Spirit. You're hearing from the wrong voices, and you've not been able to discern the difference. And so it's vitally important because there are voices speaking to us all the time, all kinds of influences, whether it be through media, whether it be through teachers in schools, whether it be through preachers on TV, whether it be through our friends, our neighbors, our Facebook friends. There are voices all the time. Relatives speaking to you, and it's not necessarily the voice of God. So this is based on the fact that Jesus literally commanded us to hear God's voice. In teaching his disciples, it's one of the things that he put a demand upon because he knew that in this world, if we can't hear God's voice, we're going to end up in a mess. So Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, and he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna. It's interesting that it says that, by the way. He humbled you and let you hunger, and then fed you with manna, which you did not know. In other words, you have no idea. You've never even seen this before. It's a supernatural act that he did to take care of you. Nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds or comes from the mouth of the Lord. So he's trying to let us know that, listen, when he said man doesn't live by bread alone, what he's talking about is stop just chasing physical things. You need something much more important and much more sustaining than a physical thing such as bread, such as food. And the manna, though it was food in the Old Testament, what it represented was the supernatural. What it represented was something from another realm that you've never seen before, you've never known before, right? And so man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. If we don't hear the word that comes from the mouth of the Lord, spiritually, we're going to starve to death. And so he speaks in a lot of different ways. And so Matthew chapter 11, verse 15, these are scriptures, foundational scriptures for this whole teaching. So he who has ears to hear, let him hear, is what Jesus said. What is he talking about? He's not talking about these physical ears. He's talking about ears of the Spirit, hearing with our spirit. And so just to do a quick review here, we talked about the fact that our body is world conscious. Our body operates by the five senses. And if a person just lives their life operating by the five senses, they're no different than an animal. But then we also have a soul, and that soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions is self-conscious. Apart from the spirit, the soul is just trying to keep us alive. So that's why there's this, you know, we're very self-defensive. That's why we, you know, we'll just do anything we can to try to feel good, to survive, basically. That's what the soul does. But then there is the spirit of man. Our spirit is God conscious. Until Jesus Christ came, until we received him as Lord and the Holy Spirit came to live inside of us, our spirit, it's God conscious, but it was dead. But then once Christ came, once the Holy Spirit came, then our spirit is now made alive and we are God conscious. And the way we hear from God is through our spirit, not through our head, not through our body, not even through our soul. We hear from the spirit first, and then we renew our soul, our mind, and then we use our body to speak forth his words and manifest what his word has said. And so our spirit is God conscious. Now, we talked about the fact that how does God speak? Well, number one, he speaks through the witness of the Holy Spirit. It's an awesome thing to experience that witness of the Holy Spirit. It's that just you hear something and I get a witness with that. I know that's right. I know that's from the Lord. I know that's from the Spirit. It's just that witness of the Spirit. I get around someone and I recognize the Spirit of God in them. It's a witness of the Spirit. And then we said there's the revelation of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit speaks to us, and it is literally, just a knowing. I just know something. God has revealed something to me. The word revelation comes from the root word reveal. It's God revealing his heart. It's God revealing his thoughts. It's God revealing his character. And we'll just know something by the Holy Spirit. It wasn't something that we figured out with our brain. It's called the revelation of the Holy Spirit. And then we said number three, and I know I'm going through this fast, but the instructive voice of the Holy Spirit. It's very important that we hear the instructive voice of the Holy Spirit, because how many of you know he's the one that knows what to do? Anybody ever been in a situation where you didn't know what to do? Well, he's the one who knows. And be careful who you ask for instruction, because Jesus warned about that. He said, look, the blind lead the blind, and then they both fall into the ditch. Right? So we want to hear from the instructive voice of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit speaks to us with his voice. And it's really interesting. We can give you scriptures and did share scriptures about the fact that sometimes he will give you very specific instruction on what to do. There may be situations in your life where it's vital that you hear the instructive voice of the Holy Spirit. And it may be a stern voice. It may be that, you know, he's saying, I need you to do this now. I need you to go this way instead of that way. I need you to not get on that airplane today. You know, we've heard lots of stories of that where people just felt like God told them not to do it. I remember hearing a story about 911, a particular person that worked in the top of one of those twin towers, that they felt that morning the Lord told them, don't go to work today. don't go into work today. And had they been there, it's very possible that they would have died with all the other people that died in that particular incident. So I've heard lots of stories like that. Had instances in my own life where the Lord had to speak to me with an instructive voice and I had to listen and quickly, because it could have cost me my life otherwise. And you've probably experienced that yourself at times. And so the problem is when we don't heed the instructive voice of the Holy Spirit, man, I'm going to tell you, usually it's going to end up in pain or worse. Then we talked about, we actually ended this last week talking about the visions from the Lord, that God will speak to us in visions. Some of you, maybe you've experienced this. We saw through the scripture that there were many times when God spoke to his people in the New Testament with visions. He does still speak in visions today, I believe. And, you know, Pastor Cindy says, I've heard her say that, you know, sometimes God has to speak in a vision to get our attention because we just won't listen any other way, right? And sometimes early on in our life, I remember her sharing, she shared with me a lot of visions when she first got saved. Visions that God gave her to teach her and train her about certain things, and that were very powerful, very graphic, but very powerful in her life. And then God can take those things that he shows you in a vision and can help other people as you share that with them as well. But God does still speak in visions. And I shared with y'all a vision that I had when, you know, I had a vision of literally going to heaven and standing before the Lord and seeing my life flash before my eyes, and seeing situations where, you know, I had the opportunity to share the gospel and didn't, and how that affected me. And so visions are very powerful, and God does speak through visions, but that's just one of the ways he speaks. And so today we're going to get to, and we got three that we're going to deal with today, but we're going to get to number six, and that is this, the angels of the Lord, the angels of the Lord. And the angels of the Lord, you know, we can look in scripture and we can see that all through the New Testament, God used angels to speak to people. Now, when we start talking about angels, we need to be very careful. In fact, I did a whole teaching specifically on angels, because there's a lot of people that have a lot of wrong ideas about angels. First off, angels, people don't turn into angels, okay? When your loved one died, heaven didn't gain another angel. I hate to break the bad news to you. They didn't earn their wings, right? When they died, see, there's a difference. Angels and people are different. God didn't make the angels in his likeness and image, but he made us in his likeness and image. People don't turn into angels. Angels are spirits that God created to serve him and to serve us. But we need to be very careful with how we handle this topic of angels, because people don't become angels and come back and talk to us. It's very important that we understand that. But God will use angels. Actually, the word angel literally means messenger. So God will use angels, I believe, supernatural beings, supernatural angels, to bring a message. We saw that happen when he brought the message to Mary about you're going to give birth to this son. We saw it when an angel brought the message to Zechariah, John the Baptist's father, saying, look, you're going to give birth to a son. Both of those births were supernatural in nature. And the angel had to announce it. There were times that the angel stood before the shepherds and told them to go into Jerusalem, right? So there are many times in the scripture where angels brought messages to people. But we do not worship angels. We do not worship angels. Some people have got into that. Even in the Bible days, in the early New Testament, some people got into angel worship. And the apostle had to correct that. You don't worship angels, right? There are some that, you know, there's a scripture that says that we were created a little lower than the angels. How many of you ever read that scripture? But do you know that the word right there for angels is really a mistranslation? We're created a little lower than Elohim, is what it says. You and I were created a little lower than God, not lower than the angels. The only way we're lower than the angels is we live on earth, maybe. But angels are here as well, right? And so I believe in angels. I have experienced in angels, angelic visitations on both sides, by the way. Okay. How many of you know that the ones that serve Satan are just as real as the ones that serve God, right? And I've experienced both sides of that. And so, but the angels of the Lord, I do believe, do still speak to people today. I hear stories from missionaries and of people who have who have said that angels in the Muslim world say that angels have appeared to them and told them to listen to the man of God that will show up and bring the message. And the thing is, angels are not here to preach the gospel. Whose job is it to preach the gospel? That's our job. We don't see anywhere in the Bible where angels were commissioned to preach the gospel, but we were commissioned to preach the gospel. We've been given the ministry of reconciliation. Angels are messengers, but we preach the gospel. Now, wouldn't it be nice if the angels just did all our work for us? Wouldn't that be awesome? Well, God, you know, I mean, they can fly and all that stuff. You know, why not let them do it? Because God wanted us to be able to participate in his kingdom work. He wanted us to experience the incredible opportunity that he gives us to turn a person's destination from hell to heaven. That's a gift from God to us, that he allows us to be a part of that. And so, again, the angels of the Lord do speak, but they don't preach the gospel. They simply bring a message from God to people, and angels do intervene. I believe that some of you today, the only reason you're here today is because angels were with you, right? Because the enemy would have been trying to take you out in some way, shape, or form, even out on the road, right? Now, some of you, like Pastor Cindy says, some of you probably got here before your angels because you were driving too fast, right? But angels are there. I believe that. I remember my mother telling me years ago that her and a bunch of ladies were going to a ladies' meeting, and they were going up the I-10 bridge. It was my mom and my aunt and a couple of others, and they were going up the I-10 bridge, and there was an older man in a pickup truck, and as he's going over the bridge, his tire began to come apart. He had like a blowout, and his tire began to come apart. And them ladies just begin to pray. And you got to know my mom. She has I'd call it a simple faith. She just believes it. And her and my aunt and those other ladies in that car begin to pray for that man and command that tire in Jesus' name to come back together. And they said, I could see, your mind will not believe this. Your mind's going to say that couldn't possibly happen. They said, we saw the pieces of that tire coming back together on the rim of that truck, like air itself up as it drove over the bridge. Well, I mean, my own mind says, oh, that's crazy. That can't happen, right? But I've seen a lot of things that can't happen through the power of God, right? So she told me, she said, I just believe it was angels, you know, working on that man's tire, you know, putting that rubber back where it goes. We don't know how it happened, but we do know that angels intervened. And let's look at one story in Acts chapter 12, verse 6 through 11. It says, now, when Herod was about to bring him out on that very night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains and sentries before the door was guarding the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood next to him. And a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him, saying, get up quickly. And the chains fell off his hands. And the angel said to him, dress yourself and put on your sandals. And he did so. And he said to him, wrap your cloak around you and follow me. And he went out and followed him. He did not know that what was being done by the angel was real. He thought he was seeing a vision. Anybody know what that's like? I mean, I love that, you know, in Psalm, it talks about that what God wants to do in our life is he wants it to seem like a dream. This is so good, this can't be real. And it was like a dream, right? And so this is what's going on here. Peter's like, I thought I was seeing a vision. I didn't even know this was real. And when they had passed the first and the second guard, they came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them of its own accord, and they went out and went along one street, and immediately the angel left him. So what I'm assuming is happening here, the gate opened of its own accord, but I don't believe the gate just opened of its own accord. I believe an angel opened that gate. But here's something interesting to me. So there's one angel that God actually allowed him to actually see. He could see this angel. But then there's others, obviously, that he could not see. That's why I thought the gate opened by itself. Right? I don't know why God does it exactly like that, but there are times when I've seen angels manifest, and other times I know they're there. I know they're here. They're in this room with us. We don't see them, right? But there are times when God will allow that an angel to manifest for us to see. And so It says, when Peter came to himself, he said, now I am sure that the Lord had sent his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting. So, and there are many more examples of God using angels in the scripture. So again, one of the ways that God speaks is it could be through angels. Now, I do want to caution you because I have seen over the years some ministers who, I don't know, they claim to almost have like this intimate relationship going on with angels, and they talk to them like they're their best buddy, and they have names, and they have, but every minister that I've ever heard that talks like that eventually, I mean, they just went way off in the left field and usually got exposed for some kind of terrible sin in their life. Because I believe that they got off into the just to the wrong thing. They got off into heresy. They got off into error. So be careful with that. We don't worship angels. We don't demand angels do anything. We pray to God and God speaks to the angels. We pray to God. God gives them their commands. The scripture does not give us the right to command angels to do anything. Amen? They're his servants, but he has them serving us. All right. So thank God for his angels, though. I'm so glad for his angels. Now, another way that God speaks, and we're talking about how God speaks, is through prophets. The prophets and the spokesmen of God. So the seventh one is the prophets or spokesmen of God. I do believe that prophets still exist today. There are some people believe that prophets don't exist today. They believe that the only two offices left out of the five mentioned in Scripture are the pastor and the evangelist. I don't believe that. I believe that apostles are still existing today. I've got many scriptural proofs for that. Prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And so all of the, now they, some believe that teachers still exist as an office today as well. But for the most part, they don't believe prophets and apostles exist. Now, I will caution you, there's a whole bunch of people today who now go around claiming to be apostle so-and-so and prophet so-and-so. And just because they claim a title doesn't mean they literally walk in that office. And let me give you a clue. If they got to have a t-shirt on that says prophet so-and-so or apostle so-and-so, then that doesn't mean they're, you know, a prophet or an apostle. It may mean that they're a false apostle or a false prophet. We were warned about that. In fact, I spent weeks talking about beware of false prophets. It's one of the things that Jesus commanded of his people as well. So prophets do exist today, and they do speak today for the Lord, but there are a lot of people who try to take on the title who are not speaking for God. And the example of that is, as I said earlier, every year you got all the YouTube and Facebook prophets talking about what this is what's going to happen this year. And then when it doesn't happen at the end of the year, they have to go back and try to explain why it didn't happen. Right? So again, you want to hear from the Lord, and God will speak through prophets. But I do believe he gives us the ability to discern through the witness of the Holy Spirit whether or not that is of God. Right, so, but we are not going to dishonor those that walk in a legitimate prophetic office. The Holy Spirit will speak prophetically to us through others. Pastor Cindy and I have had many prophetic words spoken over our lives, over this ministry that we know were from God. Okay, we know it, and we saw many of those fulfilled. And so we know they were from God, and so we don't reject a prophetic word, but it will always line up with God's written word. Acts chapter 2, verse 18, even on my male servants and female servants in those days, I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Okay, so what are those days he's talking about? The days he's talking about are these days, right? And notice he said, my sons and my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit and they shall prophesy. So just to throw that out there, for those who believe that a woman can't preach, that doesn't, the scripture doesn't agree with you, okay? And so I believe that with all of my heart. Acts chapter 11, verse 27 through 28. Now in those days prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. And one of them, named Agabus, stood up and foretold by the Spirit that there would be a great famine over all the world. This took place in the days of Claudius. Now, one of the reasons I'm talking about this is because There are those that believe that there are no more prophets or apostles since the original disciples died or original apostles died. There are those that believe that God just kind of shut those offices down. But yet, through the scripture, we see there were many people who were prophesying, and part of the prophecy was that there would be people in our day who would still be prophesying. Okay. And so this guy, Agabus, it says, was a prophet. And in Acts chapter 21, verse 10 through 11, it says, "While we were staying for many days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea, and coming to us, he took Paul's belt and bound his own feet and hands and said, 'Thus says the Holy Spirit, this is how the Jews at Jerusalem will bind the man who owns this belt and delivers him into the hand of the Gentiles.'" Now, why am I pointing this out? Because I want you to understand that when you look at that prophecy, that was a true, according to the scripture, he was a true prophet delivering a true prophetic word. And this is what he says. "This is how the Jews at Jerusalem will bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles." How many of you know that was not a fun prophecy to get? And we have this idea in our day and age that prophecy, if there's ever a prophecy, it's always going to be a blessing prophecy. It's just God telling you how wonderful things are about to be and how much money's about to come to you and all of this kind of stuff. You know, but yet, here is a legitimate prophecy, and he's telling the Apostle Paul, "You're about to be bound. You're going to become a prisoner." Well, how many of you would want to reject that as coming from the devil? Yet, it was from God. Now, when you know the whole story about the Apostle Paul, you understand that he had also received a prophecy that he would stand before kings. But how many of you know the way that was fulfilled was as a prisoner? Paul wasn't complaining about it. In fact, while he was in prison, he literally wrote all of what we call the prison epistles, many of the books of the Bible that we have in the New Testament. He wrote while he was in prison. He encouraged. He was still able to minister. And the Bible says, I love that he was literally in Caesar's household winning all of those people in Caesar's household to Jesus right under Caesar's nose, because God's plan and our plan doesn't always line up. So I said all that to say that not all prophecies are going to sound wonderful. But if it's from God, if it really is from God, you should bear witness with that and trust God that he knows what he's doing. You know, I tell people this. Pastor Cindy says, you probably ought to stop telling this story because then people are going to get insulted. But years ago, we were at a meeting, and there was a lady who I believe was a prophetess of the Lord who was speaking, and there were a lot of those blessing prophecies going on until she got to us. And then when she got to us, it was, you know, God sending you people who've never had a normal day in their life. She didn't say nothing about God blessing us with money. She didn't say anything about any of that. So here's the thing. God spoke to us, and that has proven out to be true. Is there anybody in this room that's ever had really a normal day in your life? No, not if you're part of this church. But you know what? You're in good company, because neither have we, right? So anyway, God speaks through prophecy. Now, remember Acts chapter 2, verse 17, "And your sons and daughters shall prophesy." God uses both men and women to prophesy. And notice this in Acts chapter 21, verse 8 through 9. "On the next day, we departed and came to Caesarea, and we entered the house of Philip, the evangelist, who was one of the seven, and stayed with him. And he had four unmarried daughters who prophesied." So again, I believe with all my heart, people make a huge mistake when they turn off the voice of a woman because they say, "Oh, well, I can't hear from a woman." And there are whole denominations who believe that women should not preach the gospel. I mean, they're totally against it. But even the world understands that if you have a family that doesn't have both a mother and a father, the world uses the term dysfunctional. Even the world understands that the best case and scenario for any family is to have a mother and a father in the home. Amen? So even the world understands that. But yet in the church, somehow they've rejected the mother and they only want the father. And there are whole denominations that don't even allow their father to be married, right? So there's something wrong with that when the scripture says the daughters and sons shall prophesy. Now, I was in a discussion with a man, a particular denomination, and we were talking about this, and we were talking about spiritual gifts. And he says, yeah, but I don't believe that when you're talking about the gift of prophecy, I don't believe that's a supernatural thing. That's just somebody preaching the word. I said, oh, you believe that's just somebody preaching the word? I said, yeah. I said, oh, but you also believe that women can't preach the word. Yeah, that's right. Well, what are you going to do with the scriptures, according to your definition of prophecy, that say that women prophesy? What are you going to do with that? So the truth of the matter is, God will use anybody that's willing to open their mouth and declare the truth of the gospel. It doesn't matter if they're male or female. And you're a fool if you won't listen to the truth, no matter which package it's coming out of. So, by the way, when families are being raised, for the most part, in case you hadn't noticed, it may have been different in your family, I don't know. But for the most part, most of the teaching and most of the learning actually comes from the mother, not the father. And it's usually because, you know, at least in times past, dads were out working all kinds of ungodly hours, and it's the mom at home that's teaching the children. Well, you know, God never said a mother should not instruct her children, and yet they'll cut off the voice of a mother of a church. It's a foolish thing to do. All right, so, and this is the last one. More importantly, God speaks through the written scripture, the written scripture. Of all the things, of all the different ways that God speaks, I think this is primary. He can speak to you while you're praying. He can speak to you through a prophet. He can speak to you in all these other ways. But I want to tell you, the written scripture is the primary way that God speaks to people. And it's not just by reading words, but I always encourage people, ask the Lord to enlighten this scripture, to illuminate this scripture. God, tell me what you're really trying to say to me here. There are certain things that the scripture should be read in its context and so on and so forth, but there is revelation hidden in that scripture. There are nuggets hidden in that scripture that many people will never see because they just read it like just any other book. But this is a supernatural book. This book is God-breathed. Amen? So the written scripture, every voice, every vision, every prophetic word, every other way that God may speak to you must line up with the written word of God. It is the authority. It is the standard. And I don't care what anybody has said to you or how holy they may be or how gifted they may be. If it does not line up with the written scripture, not twisted scripture, but the written word of God, you throw that prophecy away. You throw that word away. So it must not be acted on. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 3. How the mystery was made known to me by revelation as I have written briefly. So what we're talking about is we don't just want education. Pastor Mike's the first one I heard say this, Pastor Mike Millay. You don't want education from the word. You want revelation from the word. And it's the same way. Even while you're reading the word, what you don't want is just thinking through it, but you want to hear what God's saying in the spirit as you're reading it. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19 through 21. And have we the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. We're getting the assurance here by the apostle that the Scripture can be trusted. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So the Apostle Peter is letting us know men wrote it, but the Holy Spirit authored it, and that it is trustworthy. And I find it interesting, too, that the Apostle Peter, in talking about Paul's writing, specifically calls Paul's writing Scripture. And this is still why the New Testament is actually being formed. And so, well, before we get to that, let me just make this statement. People say, well, I don't know if I can trust that word, because I don't know if I can trust the Bible, because it's just a book that a bunch of people put together. You know, they picked and chose and put together. And now people are out there looking for apocryphal books and looking for all kind of stuff. And all I want to tell you, all of that is a distraction. It's nothing but a distraction. I believe with all my heart that God put this word, what we call the Bible today, had it put together just like he led men to speak it. He led men to put it together. I had someone say, I trust the Catholic Church, and the Catholic Church is the one that put it all together. Can I tell you, I don't care who put it together. I believe God led the process. I believe that God, listen, God can even use the devil himself to accomplish his purposes if he chooses. It's like I said the other day, and I'm not saying that the Catholic Church is the devil, by the way, if anybody's hearing this, but I want you to understand that when God does something, God will use any means possible to get it done. And so when Pilate, for instance, wrote King of the Jews over the cross, what was he doing? Pilate was a very wicked man, yet God was using him to fulfill Scripture, right? And there are many other opportunities like that. I mean, think about it. God used the devil himself to bring salvation to us. Well, how did he do that? Well, he wanted Jesus dead. He inspired those people to crucify him. God used the devil himself to accomplish his purposes. And the devil, he gave him enough rope to hang himself. He had no idea that through crucifying Jesus, that he was now doing away with his own power and giving back to mankind what the devil had stolen from them. So I believe God put that Bible together. I don't care who he used to do it. We know that we have it today. God made sure we have it today in its form today. Don't be distracted by chasing all that other stuff. And God's word has proven itself over and over and over again. We talked about it actually on a Wednesday night about the fact that, you know, that this book is so supernatural. All the hundreds of prophecies that God fulfilled, that Jesus fulfilled, that were written in the Old Testament about him, hundreds of them. How he would be born, when he would be born, where he would be born, how he would die, when he would die, the manner that he would die, the specific things of being pierced when crucifixion wasn't even invented yet, that dogs would be gathered around the crucifixion site, that people would be gambling over his clothes while he was being crucified. All of that was prophesied hundreds of years before. Why? This is a supernatural book, and so it can be trusted. And so 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, though. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who brought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. There is so much junk going on in the modern day church today. There are people, there's a whole denomination right now that's been going through this huge split over the issue of marriage, and people and pastors and preachers have left that particular denomination because they said we must stand with the Bible and not what is socially accepted. And so those people are being ostracized now by that particular denomination. So wicked people moved in and begin to take over the hierarchy of that denomination and begin to push things that God calls as sin. And now they are now pretty much persecuting those who used to preach the gospel in those particular churches. And so now they've made rules that if even the retired ministers, if you dare go preach in one of these new churches where they still believe that marriage is between a man or a woman, they will now cut your retirement off. Now they've also come out with this. They said, we are now telling all of our leadership to stop using such harmful language as husband and wife. Don't even want them to use the words husband and wife because they say that's harmful. Okay. Now, this, what are we talking about? False prophets who rose among the people, right? Just as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. There are many who are preaching in pulpits today all across this country who do not even believe that Jesus was born of a virgin, that he really died, and that he really rose from the dead. Yet they're the pastors and the preachers. So again, it's vitally important that we know this word and that we stand with this word no matter what anybody else is saying or preaching or teaching. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21, knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man. So that's important that we understand that it wasn't produced because a man wanted it to happen. It was produced because God wanted it to happen. And it is trustworthy, wholly, completely trustworthy. So again, God speaks to us in many different ways. And I believe we need to ask him to clearly discern when he's speaking to us and always be willing to obey. After all, even if I can hear God clearly, if I'm not willing to obey him, then it doesn't matter, right? So God's never going to tell you to do anything that isn't in accordance with his word. And his word verifies everything that God speaks. His word, his written word, is the known will of God. If I want to know what his will is, I have to look at his word. His word tells me in written form what his will is. His word tells me what his judgments are. His word tells me all of those things. And so, yet, in America, so many times, people just refuse to spend time in that word. God will speak to you through that word in a supernatural way. He'll make it alive to you. I'll never forget, and I'm going to end with this, I'll never forget Pastor Holton sharing his testimony about when he was 19 years old and he had been given this diagnosis of a skin disease that he said at that time no one had ever lived beyond 10 years who was once diagnosed with that. And it was a very terrible, very painful thing that he was experiencing with this disease. And he said God wouldn't allow him to go home. At the time, he was traveling and preaching. Brother Holton was my pastor that I grew up under. But he was traveling and preaching, and he said he just wanted to go home because he was in so much pain. And he said God told him, God spoke to him and said, you cannot go home. It was the instructive voice of the Holy Spirit. You cannot go home. If you go home, your family will kill you with sympathy. They will kill you with sympathy. You know why? Because they're going to come into agreement with the disease, not in agreement with God's word. And he said it was so bad that one day he was preaching. He was in such pain that he literally just passed out from the pain. But yet, as he was in the word, and he said everybody around him, no one understood this thing about healing. And everybody around him was saying, even his preacher friends saying, Brother Holton, they would cry and they'd say, Brother Holton, you look terrible. Brother Holton, you're going to die. And they would speak that over him all the time. But he said he was in the word. And as he read the word, he said, I'll never forget. He said, when I got to that psalm and said, I shall not die, but live. Right? And declare the glorious works of the Lord. He said it almost, maybe it was not really happening, but it seemed to literally light up in the book. He said it's like it just light up. What happened? God was illuminating that revelation, that truth to him in that moment. And he took a hold of that and was supernaturally healed. And then lived to be in his, you know, mid-90s. Just passed away this year, actually. But at 19 years old, was given a death sentence. The word kept him alive. Amen? The word kept him alive. And so the word will keep you alive. We want to hear from God. But the primary source of that is through his word. Father, we want to truly be able to hear from you. We want to tune our hearts to you. Lord, I pray for every person in this room. Lord, I know some people will receive a message like this, some people will not. But Father, I thank you that you're always looking to speak to us. Lord, you are a relational God. You are an all-wise God. You are a loving God. You are a good God. You want us to know your thoughts. You want us to know your heart's desires. Father, as we go into this next year, Lord, we want to go with you. Father, we want to be able to hear from you. We want to be able to commune with you. Father, I pray for every person, Lord, within the sound of my voice, that you would help them to have clarity in hearing from you. I pray, Father God, that the discerning of spirits, the gift of discerning of spirits would be an operation in their life, Lord. They would recognize when something is of the Spirit of God and not. Father, I pray that there be such a hunger for your word. Lord, such a desire to hear from you, to know what you have said and what you are saying. And I pray, God, that as people read the word, I pray, Lord, you would illuminate that word to them. Lord, the revelation has already been given to us. The revealing of your heart has already been given to us in your word. I pray, illuminate it to us. Help us to see it, Father. I thank you that there are many hidden treasures in your word for your people. And Lord, I pray that there would be such a thirst, such a hunger, Lord, that people would not be satisfied with just a little dabble, do you? God, I pray as we go into this year, Lord, that people would draw closer to you than ever before. I pray that this church would draw closer to you than ever before. We know, Lord, that you had said that if we'll draw close to you, you'll draw close to us. So, Lord, we run to you like the prodigal son. We run to you. And we say, Father, speak to us. Speak to us. Help us to know your voice. And we thank you for the privilege of doing so. I pray for every person in this room, Lord, that this next year, though we know there'll be trials, we know there'll be challenges, we know there'll even be trouble and hard times that come, I thank you that for each person, they'll cling to your word, stand upon your word, and know that your word cannot fail. I thank you. Thank you, God, for speaking to us like you do. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Now, I just want to speak a blessing over you. I used to do this every service, but as we're going into this new year, I definitely want to just speak the biblical blessing over you. So just receive it. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray, bless your people. Keep them, Lord. Cause your face to shine upon them and be gracious to them. Look upon them with your favor. Fill them with your peace as they go and serve you throughout 2024, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.